CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fired Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And fire it up with CJ. Log on, firedupwithcj.com. And call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
On CBS Radio's The Sky. Sky.
Welcome back to Fire It Up with CJ. Today we have author Dr. Deborah Kennedy, and she's the co-author of Beat the Sugar Addiction Now, and she also has a book called Beat Sugar Addiction Now for Kids, and it also has recipes in it. We were talking about it over the break, that if you have that child that, you know, is addicted to sugar or a picky eater or anything like that, pick up this book. You know, it has recipes and ways to beat sugar addiction for your children. And she also has a book called The Picky Eating Solution. If you have a picky eater in your household, you can also take a look at that book. I think it would be very handy. I know we were talking about my little picky eater at home, and so I'm going to have to pick up that book for her and see how that works out. But you can find more information like this on CJ's website. It's firedupwithcj.com. And when we go back to our guest, she's going to give her information out on where you can find her books and to get in contact with her.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. So we were talking about how to make our recipes more healthy, and I never thought about substituting butter with either mashed potatoes or
mashed bananas.
I think I just should have said mashed potatoes. Mashed bananas or applesauce. That was so unconscious. What would Freud say? Okay, so.
That you're hungry?
Yes, exactly. I'm thinking about Thanksgiving. All right, sugar. That's another one that I actually made this apple pie, and I decided to use stevia. And my family was so mad at me. They're like, seriously, you went through the effort of making apple pie and you put stevia? We're not even eating this. It's awful. So what could I have done?
Stevia has this back taste that a lot of people don't prefer.
Yeah.
So, that's why there's different brands. Some have more of a back taste than others. But I find that if you're really baking, that I just lessen the sugar amounts, which you can do by a half without affecting the quality. So you could have made that apple pie with half the amount of sugar in it, and your family probably wouldn't have known, especially if you added other flavors like nutmeg and cinnamon to it.
Mm. Okay, how about things like agave, honey, white corn syrup? I went to go make pecan pie, and I saw like a plethora of different sugar or maple syrup. I mean, are those any better or worse than regular sugar? Do they affect the recipe? Should you use them?
Yeah, so that's a big question. And to me, sugar is sugar is sugar, right? So I would just say use less sugar. And if you wanted the flavor of the maple syrup, use less of that too. So if a recipe called for, let's say, a cup of sugar, you could use a half a cup to a three-quarter cup of maple syrup in there. Mm-hmm. You know, what you want to look at is how high does your blood sugar spike after you eat something that's really sweet. And all these, like agave, really spikes your sugar levels high. So I'm not a total fan of agave nectar. Mm-hmm. It's very sweet. I know stevia is 300 times as sweet as sugar, which is why you need just a little bit of it, and people they have this off taste to it. Mm-hmm. So, on page 166 of Beat Sugar Addiction Now for Kids, I go through all of that, how much you can substitute, how much honey you substitute for sugar, how much maple syrup you can, agave nectar, all of that is in here. But just in general, you can really, when I look at a recipe, I never use the amount of sugar they ask for, especially if it sounds like a lot. I use a third to a half. And you can experiment. And what I like to tell people, it's not like, it's not set in stone, these recipes. Some, when you're baking, you have to be more careful. But there are ways to experiment, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So next time you make an apple pie, put in half the amount and see. If they give you a hard time again, then try three quarters, and then you reduce it the next time to a half.
You know, this time I actually made it. I'm making pecan pie, and I went to Cooking Light, which I love Cooking Light because I think it has that kind of mentality. I think. Do you use that resource, Cooking Light?
Yes, I do.
And they had a pecan pie that is mostly made up of oatmeal instead of pecans. So you use half an amount of pecans. You put oatmeal in. You use light corn syrup. Is light corn syrup bad for you? I couldn't tell.
Well, I mean, it's
corn syrup, right?
It's corn syrup, and it's probably genetically modified. So, You know what? Yeah. You can have a slice of pecan pie. I'm looking forward to it tomorrow myself. So I just wouldn't use it every day. I mean, I made my grandmother's favorite cookies, and it had corn syrup in it. But the last time I made them was, like, seriously? Like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's not something I use very often, which is why in the holiday time, I like to tell people to enjoy, don't overindulge, and you're really teaching your kids how to be around treats. So I let my kids have the treats on Thanksgiving. I'll do some substitutions here and there because some recipes are just, it's absurd the amount that has to go in some of them. So I will do some manipulation in the kitchen. But when it comes to when we're sitting down, you know, they're going to eat their vegetables. They know that already because I've already taught that to them. But we're going to eat a piece of pecan pie or a piece of apple pie and not feel guilty about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the best way. All right, so flour, another
one. Oh, flour. Okay. So, yeah, so when I see something with refined white flour, I call it the dead flour, you know, you can replace half of that with whole grain. If you try to replace a whole cup of white flour in a recipe with a one cup of whole grain, it becomes very dense and you're not going to have much success.
Okay.
In my family, I actually am gluten intolerant, so I use a lot of Bob's Red Mills. He has almond flour and brown rice flour. And the favorite one I have to cook with, it sounds really gross, but it's actually really good and it holds up well in baking, is one called garbanzo and fava bean flour. I don't even know how the heck they make flour out of garbanzo and fava beans. But they do, and I use that almost all the time in my kitchen.
All right, so it says do you use it in the half and half mixture because you're gluten-free. So how does that work for you?
So for me, I just replace it totally. If you're gluten-free, you just replace the amount of, so to call for one cup of flour, I'm going to use probably three-quarter cups of the garbanzo three-quarter cups of the garbanzo and a quarter cup of the brown rice because the garbanzo is a little heavier. So I'll mix the brown rice with the garbanzo. Or if I want a taste of coconut in there, I'll do a quarter of the coconut flour with three-quarters of the garbanzo flour. For people who don't have a gluten intolerance, absolutely you can switch. I would say if your family is one that, if your kids look and they see that brown color, they're like, yuck, I'm not going to eat that, that's whole grain, I would start with replacing a quarter of a cup in a cup serving with the whole grain and then eke your way up to a half a cup.
So they don't notice. Okay. But and then how does that affect the taste of things? Are the kids like, you know, I know it fakes the color, which is why they're like, oh, it's brown, I don't want to eat it. But do they really?
I don't think they're going to notice a quarter of a cup of whole grain in something, unless you're really the Wonder White Bread, you know, family that all they know is that bleached white color. I really don't think kids will notice it too much, especially if it's in a pie crust.
Yeah.
They're going to be focusing on what's in the middle of the pie.
Well, I got whole wheat pie crust, and I'm not sure if I'm just delusional, because it says whole wheat pie crust, so I assume it is whole wheat pie crust. I can't figure out how they make it. It tastes actually fine. I mean, it doesn't taste bad at all. All right, so in the next couple minutes, one more minute, tell us about what is kind of a tried-true non-starch item on your Thanksgiving table that kids will absolutely love.
So actually, I have a question for you. Why did you pick a non-starch item?
Well, because kids love, you know, potatoes, they love rice, they love corn. Like, yeah, of course they'd love it.
Yeah. So what we do, I am not one who does hors d'oeuvres or appetizers before Thanksgiving. We cut up, and we've done this for years. Like, we're second or third generation. Carrot sticks, celery sticks, and olives. Boom. Mm. That's what everybody munches on before Thanksgiving. And you kind of get the vegetables over with.
Right.
And then when I do mashed potatoes, I always do a half and half, half sweet, half white mashed potato. Because it's much healthier.
Sweet potato, half
and
white.
It's delicious because it has a sweeter taste and kids love it.
Oh, I would never have thought about doing that. So half sweet potatoes, half mashed.
Half white potato, yeah.
Wow. I'm going to try that. All right. So wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much. Thanks for being here during your holidays, too. I know
you're welcome.
So thank you so much for being here. Folks, make sure to tell us your website. So it's buildhealthykids.com.
Buildhealthykids.com. Because once the new year kicks off, hey, you know, you focus on one healthy thing at a time.
Exactly.
And
all
you missed sweet. Sweet month was last month. So you got a whole 11 months before I'm taking away your sweets. So why don't join us Build Healthy Kids in January.
I love it. All right. Thank you so much, Dr.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Have a great Thanksgiving, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.